There you go. We're recording. All right. Oh, we are
now
live.
We are live.
It's GloucesterCast 377. It is January 22nd. We have two podcast virgins in the office today. We're going to start with our introductions.
Good morning, Cape Ann, Gloucester, Joey. Happy birthday, man.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I appreciate it. Yeah, my birthday.
It's your birthday today?
You didn't know
happy
that?
Happy birthday.
No, oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
Jim Capello, I'm with Cape Ann Live.
Hi, I'm Lisa Olson. I'm with Jim, Cape Ann Live.
Jimmy D, I'm on bass, and Patty Ann's on keyboard, and there's our lead singer.
Nice.
You had that all prepared, didn't you? I like it. Yeah, no, I'm Joey Schmitter, your host. We have
Ralph's on assignment, we have to say.
Ralph's
on assignment.
On assignment. Yes, he is.
That's too bad.
Yeah.
He's out there.
Out there.
Yeah.
Incognito.
Tell me about Cape Ann Live.
Well, Cape Ann Live is a, it's basically a loose formation of three people, or actually four with John Russ, that started after I left local cable voluntarily last spring. I was approached by a local woman, and she had the vision of starting something like this. She wanted me to tweak it a little bit, so I came in and helped her and actually started forming it out of that. I mean, it really.
And go back to what is it?
Well,
so people know.
It's basically a Facebook channel, mm-hmm. and we also have a YouTube version of it where once the Facebook is actually live, so we put all live stuff on Facebook.
Like this.
Like today, podcast, yeah. Right, like today.
You stream it.
And then once we get done with that, I'll take it, edit it, put the music on it, the graphics, and all the other stuff. And then it goes and lives on YouTube.
Right.
So anybody can go to YouTube and check out Cape Ann Live, and you get all our videos that we've done previously up there.
And the main part of the content is local sports?
Yeah.
Not just that.
No. It started off as news, sports, and local events to basically have everybody input their own stuff. I mean, without sending out a crew or anything. And one of our very first respondents was the mayor. She went out and did two little events of her on her own within the first couple days, and I was really surprised about that. And then they're still on the site up there if anyone wants to go watch them. So we had Sophia go out and get involved right away. And the sports really grew out of me talking to Lisa about
legendary Lisa Olson.
Legendary.
Legendary. Been involved.
That goes without saying. Yeah.
Lisa, you've been involved with the youth of our city. I mean,
Forever.
I'm 50. Am I 52 or 53?
52 today.
But I remember playing. Pee Wee football. Little league baseball.
Yeah. And I was coaching then.
You were coaching way back then.
Yeah.
And you haven't let up.
Right. Loving life. It's keeping me young.
Yeah. I mean, so what do you do now? Like, what is your job, and how many different, like, things do you have your hand in with local, you know, activities and stuff?
I'm always involved in something. Mm-hmm. If I don't, then somebody finds me. Right now, I'm doing the Cape Ann Live with Jim. I work at the middle school in Gloucester. But after school is when everything picks up. I have, now I'm on the second generation. I have three granddaughters, God bless, and just what I wanted. And the middle child is involved in dancing, which I don't do, but she's playing basketball, and they saw me come in, and I'm the coach of the seventh grade travel team here in Gloucester. She did 4 years of playing with the Pirates with me. She's just finished that last spring. That was my 42nd year coaching. Which is awesome. Love it every year. It was just Little League baseball. You can't beat it. It's just so much fun.
Yeah.
I did the, when my children were younger, I did the East Gloucester Vikings, went the Ramit with that, with football, basketball, and softball. Kiara does flag football in the fall, which is tons of fun.
Yeah. Those games are great.
Oh, that's just so much fun. So it goes with the season. Whatever the season is, you'll find me somewhere involved in with a smile on my face.
Yeah.
Especially being outside is the best thing ever.
So Jimmy's, you're kind of like the production and the camera guy.
Yes, yeah.
And
And myself and Phil Nicastro.
And Phil Nicastro kind of call the games.
Right.
Yep.
And the production value is really good.
Yeah.
The camera angles and everything, you watching the game. Even if you can't get down to Talbot Rink
or
to the high school, you really feel like
you're there.
Always been my gig, though, is the technical aspect of all this because, I was shooting news at Channel 10 in Rhode Island way back in the 80s, and like we were talking about the technology, the cameras back then, this little phone right here has more resolution and more than those 40-pound things that I was hauling around.
I was going to say, you can
80s.
Actually lift it with your hand.
Yeah, well, I could never lift any of those cameras nowadays.
Right, right.
You know, they're just so heavy and ancient. So it really puts Facebook and YouTube and all that, really puts the power to the people right in your hand.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, it really sort of obsoletes what we know as local cable, unfortunately, because everybody has the power right there to go shoot news, sports, or whatever.
Well, I'll say this, though. I don't think it completely obsoletes it because there's so many people that are afraid of technology. And I mean, we can laugh. You and I are gadget people, right? And we love tinkering. We love being able to get this information out there. There are a lot of people that they will not.
Right.
They will not. Like, you can give them step-by-step instructions to do it, but they do have a story to tell.
Yes.
So it serves a need, just like what you're doing. I feel like there's room for everybody.
Oh, of course. Yeah, certainly is.
Yeah. The only issue that I have with the camera angles is I noticed the last few games you've had the camera focused on the other team's play calling.
That's my buddy Bill.
Oh, Bill?
Yeah.
Bill, you got to stop that, man. Everybody's getting in trouble. That's not allowed.
What's really cool about it is like Mike Cusabano's out in California, who's a legend here. It's an athlete in went to University of Cincinnati, played on the Patriots.
Really?
Yeah, he played. He was a replacement player. Which we don't care. He played in the Patriots. He had the uniform on. Pete Kelly, who's a sports guy, originally Hamilton guy, lived in Glossy. He's in Florida. So these guys are turning in the games and watching the games from California and Florida. And that's what's cool about this technology.
I watch the games when it's slow down the dock. I look forward to watching the games. They're excited.
The technology is just to the point that we have a person in Ireland that watches all the games. It's just amazing. So everybody's
amazing.
Got the power of a worldwide network right here. Anyone can pop on and you can do worldwide. Everybody's going to watch it.
I'd say, you say the cable channels are kind of take a hit. Like I think the newspapers are like the ones that take the real hit because people consume their news just a different way, or it's really not necessarily news, but they get their information a different way, mainly through Facebook nowadays.
Right.
I mean, everybody just, what's happening in town, someone puts it out there and people share it, and that's how people seem to get their news.
And that was one of the reasons that we set
good
this
morning.
Up.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Scotty Mack is with us.
Hey.
Scotty, buddy.
It's nice and warm.
Good to see you, buddy.
Good. How are you? Good to see you.
Oh, a kiss from Scotty.
Hey, there you go.
Wow.
Good sneaking here.
How are you doing? Hello.
Coming in incognito with the glasses.
With the shades on.
Love it. Love it.
And it's Wednesday.
Yeah.
It's also not 11:30.
I know. It's very surprising. I thought you said it first. Scotty said earlier to us, don't even think about...
No, we discussed that exact thing. We said... Oh, no, it's 8:30. We won't see Scotty.
I bet you he had to wake up to pee.
He got a notification on his phone.
Yes.
To tape him live. Yeah. He's living right around the corner. He shoots right down.
Joey, you know what? You're a very good detective. Right around the corner helps a lot better than West Gloucester.
Yep, I agree.
There you go.
I know. It only took me 3 minutes.
What did I interrupt?
No, we're talking about Cape Ann Live. These guys are doing a fantastic job.
What is it?
Cape Ann Live.
Yes, yes.
And all the games that we've been able to watch the games, even if you can't get there.
So the hardest thing, though, that we had to get across was that we're a video channel and not someplace where you can pop up your still pictures and all that stuff. Because we try to keep that off of there. political ads and all that stuff. Yeah. And it's kind
of
tough.
Speaking of political ads, yeah. As we're scrolling through them.
We wanted to keep it as a video channel itself. So everything that goes up there should be in video form. And that way, and like you said, the newspaper has its own little gig going on. You go, if you don't know how to read, you're in trouble going there, you know.
Right.
With the video, you can actually sit, listen to the game, or listen to a podcast, or whatever. So it's been a little bit of an issue that we had to get that across to people, that it's just video. And it's not go plop up your events or anything, you know, your still pictures or things like that. But so, I think people have gotten...
Yeah, so Jim, set up what you have to set up. You know, when you're going to any type of game, how many camera angles or anything else? Because people are watching it and they see it and they love it, but I don't think they understand what you were doing before to get that.
Do you have a
and
kiss
it's cam? Really decent.
A kiss cam.
Kiss cam. We need that for
Valentine's Day.
You have to be careful nowadays with the kiss cams. Typically, I'm there an hour and a half before game time. And what it entails is obviously setting the camera up. It's a regular broadcast camera. So I have to come out with wires coming out of it, going into the interface that goes to the web. And once that's all set up, then I check all the batteries, check the connections, do a test. So that's typically about an hour to an hour and a half before game time.
You're going to come on, you're sit right here?
Okay.
Carl Ellis.
Sorry, I'm late.
That's fine. No problem. No, we keep it loose here. No, we're not trying to act like we're some kind of big time production. We're just Carl Ellis.
Hey, wait a minute. What did you tell me earlier?
Big time production.
Yeah.
How are
you? Good, thanks. Carl's with Cape Ann Youth Legends. Cape. How do we say it? Youth, Young Legends Street Hockey.
Close. Young Legends Street Hockey. Yeah. I know. All right. It's an oxymoron.
Yeah. Yeah. We're gonna talk about that in a little bit.
Cool.
So an hour and a half ahead of time. You saw what I was, before we started taping, you saw me scrambling.
Yeah.
I had like a half an hour, you know, but my setup is a lot probably more simple than yours.
Yeah, it's just one camera that I set up.
Yeah.
I would have to bring more stuff and...
Everything's on a tripod?
Everything's on a tripod, right.
Yeah.
Fluid head tripod, so everything's nice and smooth. And,
right.
Because that has to translate to the viewer, like you said. You want to be able to watch the game and not become aware of the video.
Right.
And so if you get shaking and everything's out of focus.
Wouldn't you say, Jim, that the number one accessory you can use when taking video would be a tripod?
Oh, definitely.
I mean, there's not, and nothing's even close, right?
Yeah, nothing is close. And
yeah. Even still photography, like people don't understand, like if you have it on a tripod, there's no movement. Everything is capturing segments in time, and especially with digital, when you move, the camera has to recalculate every little dot of what's happening and to produce that image.
Yeah. It's not like film used to be years ago. Everything is totally different.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have a tripod, you're really risking people turning you off.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if you watch the news people that are out in the field, they'll have the camera balanced on their shoulder and it doesn't move because they're good at it.
Yeah.
And they'll have it either their arm braced in here and holding the camera and it's rock solid.
Yeah.
And that's what any news director is going to tell you. You're all over the place. You're out of focus. You're shaking. People are not going to watch this video. So even if you're doing it with this, you want to be very, the number one tip is don't hold it like this. Hold it like this.
Oh, God.
Oh, that's Joey.
It fills the frame this way.
Don't even know.
Don't hold your camera like this. Hold it like this.
Yeah. No,
I think there's a direct correlation between the shaking and the number of beverages.
Definitely.
Glad you brought it up.
Well, it's either the beverage you have or haven't taken.
Yeah. Right.
In
right.
some cases, the more beverages, you might be a little less shaken.
Right.
But I think that, but nowadays, for cell phones, they have those gyro, the Osmo.
Yeah.
So you can actually almost like run and it,
we tested
it keeps,
one.
We tested one yeah. and it keeps the,
Did it look like the Blair Witch Project or did it actually?
No, a little bit. No, they actually do a good job.
Phil does. Phil Nicastro will do his cell phone and do a game and do KPL live.
I think he's doing one tonight.
Yeah.
With a cell phone.
Yeah.
But on a tripod.
On a tripod. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. So he's done that and it's come out pretty well.
It's not bad.
The technology is good. Every year, like it's amazing how the leaps from year to year. Like we're finally at a point where like you, what 90% of what goes on our blog, well, I don't know about 90% because Pat and I'd say half of what goes on our blog is shot on cell phones.
Yeah.
And it's heavy photography and video.
Yeah. You know? I mean, if you're really good at it, you can make stuff come out really, really, really nice with this technology right here.
Yeah.
And now the 11, the iPhone 11 is even better.
Yeah.
Than these
things. Three cameras. So where can people find your stuff?
We are on Facebook. If you go to Facebook, just type in the search bar, Cape Ann Live, and it'll pop up. And the same on YouTube. Just type in youtube.com and Cape Ann Live in the search bar.
Yeah, and people should follow you so that way they'll get notifications.
Yes.
And the notifications are key because you can actually see you're streaming it live.
Right.
And then what I didn't realize until yesterday was you take those live ones down, edit them, and then you put up the YouTube edited video with the titles and stuff like
that. Yeah, and that just facilitates people being able to watch the finished version with graphics and music and all that stuff.
Yeah, and a problem that I had a long time ago, and it's not the case anymore with Cape Ann TV. Cape Ann TV is great. I love Cape Ann TV, but the problem I had before was they would air shows a couple times, and then they would be gone. Now with YouTube and Cape Ann TV, Studio 1623 is utilizing this now. They're on. They have online directories with YouTube that you can access these things. Not if you miss it when it airs on television,
you can go back
and see it, which I think is very important for not just the people that want to watch it, but the people that are creating the content.
Yes.
Because you're putting all this energy and effort into it,
and then it goes away.
You're kind of like, what am I doing here, you know?
And that's the unfortunate part, because if you look back to the Seneca days where all that stuff was on tape. When I worked there, I mean, there was thousands of tapes just laying around.
Yeah. That was awesome.
But they never got transferred over to YouTube.
I know.
I don't know what happened to all the tapes, but it's a shame to lose all that.
Well, I remember taking the class and it was all on tape but the cameras that we were learning on had slots for SD cards.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked, I says, well, I kind of want to know how to use the SD card because I had a camera that had an SD card and that's the main reason I was there was to learn and they would only teach you how to do it with the tape and how to edit the tape and why it had to be a certain time so it would fit into the parameters of the time of the hours of or half hour segments, and it was very frustrating to me and then to see the tapes and say, well, you can't access that, like the YouTube you can put, but YouTube did have time limits back then.
Yes.
You could only really put a 15-minute video. Now, YouTube, you could stream up to 8 hours now straight on YouTube. Which
yeah,
is
Facebook's four, wasn't it? Four
Facebook
something?
Might be four. Yeah.
That's going to be great for McCarthy's solo career.
Yeah.
8 hours of McCarthy.
People are jumping off the bridge.
Jim, what's your upcoming schedule? What do you got today? What do you got?
Usually, I'll chat with Lisa during the week, and she'll pick out a couple of games that are the... Well, you take it from here.
We're trying to do everybody. We're trying to do Manchester, Essex. We're trying to do Rockport. We're trying to do Gloucester. So we look at the games that we haven't done. Like, we haven't done Rockport Girls. We're going to do them this Friday night. And we're trying to get everyone on more than once. I mean, it's just the three of us, so it's hard. But we also want to incorporate... we did cross country in the fall, which was really cool. We did the high school... Northeast Conference cross-country meet down at Stageville Park.
Oh, wow.
And to do a cross-country meet, you know, usually they used to be in Ravenswood that you'd say hello and then you'd say goodbye. It's the cross-country meet, they started Tablet Rock, they ran up to Weston Ave, then they ran across Cressy's Beach. So it was really neat. So we got to watch the whole part there, and then they went down to like Lovers Lane. We missed that part and came up the hill. And then we caught the end part. We did the boys and the girl. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So we're trying to get, we want to do wrestling. We want to get the sports that aren't big time, the hockey, football. Yeah. We want to do those things.
Right. Can I have a question for you on that?
Yep.
Sorry, Chris. Go ahead.
A simple request. There are two underappreciated high school sports that need your help.
Yep.
Tennis and golf.
Yep.
So If you could,
I was captain of my tennis team. He was captain of the golf team. I fished for me.
If you could show those two sports some love, we join.
Either that, or we don't get invited back, right?
You got kids that play in now. I'm only kidding. We wanted to do golf. We talked about golf, yes, but it never materialized because that would be so much fun. We could get a cart and follow around. That didn't happen this fall. We will do it next fall. Tennis might be difficult.
Well, it's because not that I was thinking hard. About it. I mean, you got to get behind and up.
Yeah.
Behind the fence.
But there's no hill.
Are you looking for? Are you looking for any help?
Sure.
Always.
So yeah. So if you had, if you had other people that could, cover them, because that's the power of this your whole platform. Right. I would think is that.
The more we can do,
the more you have. Like I feel like some of the failings of traditional media is they have certain amount of people on staff, and that's as much as they can get.
Yes.
Facebook is
everyone.
Yeah. The whole world is a contributor.
And that's what the channel is all about. Basically, where it's been short is people contributing their own videos to the channel, where anybody can go on. You can go on right now, and we can pop this up live on.
Joe has some really good videos.
I'm afraid to ask.
My question for Lisa was, with technology today, and you were talking about the iPhone 11, and trying to cover cross-country where you say hi and bye, and now you can see a little bit more. Do you have the capability to strap an iPhone 11 to somebody with one of the stabilizers and go live, where you can go on the trail with them and then put that in there?
That's a little difficult, because now you have to have either... You'd have to have the phone, which is going to be by itself on the channel, and that would be. It would be difficult. There'd be a single person.
You could record it and then add it in.
And then we're talking to MIAA and all the fun stuff they talked about, and
you're dealing with kids.
Yeah.
Sure. Or even drone. Plug in drone to
a GoPro. That's I was thinking.
GoPro drone
on the favorite.
Yeah.
That would be interesting. Is if you taped it. Then you did a little picture-in-picture up in the corner of the first person.
Oh, that would be really cool. Well,
you know, and you sync it up with the same time frame.
It's interesting that you mention that, because when I was the program director down in North Attleboro, we did, in conjunction with the high school, we did a track meet down there. Now, we had everybody at the beginning at the high school. We had live from the high school. We had that capability. And we sent someone out in a pickup truck, and this thing worked the nuts. People thought I was crazy.
Yeah,
we had a crew in a pickup truck for the front runners, and we edited that in later, and so it wasn't live like you were talking.
Right.
But later on, when we had the finished version, everything was in there.
That's cool.
And we were just talking back and forth. Okay, cue the announcer in the back of the pickup truck, and we marked the time down and just put that in at that spot, and it looked like we were sending.
Very cool.
It's just fun getting creative with it.
No, it really is, especially for us old folk. Yeah. We need something.
Exactly. Yeah.
We need something.
Yeah.
Right. To not drive us crazy. But we did that with Adventure Man. Remember, we had
the running.
Facebook is like the tools that we have at our disposal for free is outrageous.
It's crazy.
Like in the studio kind of platforms that we have that are available for free.
Yeah.
Compared to like just 10 years ago. Is bananas to me. But anyway, thank you guys for coming on. I'm going to put a link where people can find it. We're going to keep on sharing your videos so people can find you.
That's awesome. And
the content is awesome. I'm sure the kids love seeing themselves on TV.
It's kind of cool. Like Kate Delaney, I don't know if you know Kate, the senior, she played on the field hockey team. She was really good. Her father used the tape to send to college.
Oh, yeah.
He went on went on the YouTube link and sent that to college. So, I mean, that's cool. These kids can have these tapes. Not that they couldn't 10 years ago, too, but it's, better quality, better whatever. And, maybe the coach, she had a good game and,
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
I'm sure grandparents, aunts, uncles, I love watching the games, and I don't even have a relative playing.
Yeah.
It's just, I love sports anyway. But thank you guys for coming on.
You're welcome
to stay. If you have to leave, you can leave. Yeah. Totally up to you.
I'm going to go back to where I'm supposed to be.
All right.
Sure. Don't tell anyone. I'm on lunch break.
No one will know. No one will know.
Hey, good luck.
Oh, thank you.
I'm a big proponent of it.
Thank you.
Yeah, we got to start videotaping roller hockey, too.
Have fun.
All right. You're on.
I'll see you guys. Thanks for coming in.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Carl, slide right in. Take that seat right there. Jimmy, if you want to go there?
I'll jump over.
There you go. Perfect. Carl Ellis, tell us all about what. Tell us all about your.
So thanks for having us. Appreciate it.
We're trying to get you for like 2 months.
I know. And you, I think you're related to Anthony, right? Scimitaro? Is that
Anthony Scimitaro? Maybe. I don't
cousin,
know.
Maybe. Well,
probably.
He's one of our. Anyway, he might not be. So Young Legends was started back in the summer of 2004. We started out very humbly. We had four teams of 35 kids. And
wait, four teams of 35?
Yeah.
A so team had 35 kids?
Four teams with 35 players spread amongst them. So we had
about 35.
Eight or nine, seven kids per team.
Right,
and,
right.
It was a very humble beginnings, but it started to take off. And we started to introduce more ideas into the program. So we did more skill development. We did some strength conditioning workouts. We did a mini camp. The always popular 7th and 8th graders versus the coaches game, which I think that's why a lot of our coaches come back, just to play in that game. Double elimination playoffs. This year we're transitioning to a permanent trophy that is going to be like the Stanley Cup. Cool. And we're going to engrave the teams on there.
Yeah.
So it hopefully will boost the competition of the playoffs even more. But our program has grown over the last. This is going to be the 17th summer.
Wow. And where have you played in the past?
Me personally, or
where has the program?
It has always run at the Stagefort Park basketball court.
Okay.
And
what's the hours? What's the time frame on that?
We play Friday nights and Saturday mornings in the summer. So June through August. Usually you get 1 hour game, 50 minute games, 2 25 minute halves, although the rink may change that. But we go from June to August, and that's been the model. So we're big advocates of kids playing multiple sports, so we've tried to plan the program around baseball so that kids can do both. Not always easy, but
especially with rainouts,
you bet.
Don't go insane.
And that's our program in general. In 2018, we became an official nonprofit, a 501(c), and our board decided that we would take on this project of building a rink. And as many of you guys probably already know, street hockey has been a major part of Gloucester. While designing this rink, I've gotten a chance to talk to people about the make-believe league up at the old Hubby School, which my dad played in. He told me a story one time of he had to go to a band concert and play the trumpet, and he got smashed in the face. And my grandmother was not too thrilled about that. But I'm forgetting, Steve LeBlanc on the city council, he had mentioned that him and his buddies would go from business to business trying to get money to get shirts for their own street hockey team. So it's been really fun to hear those stories. So I believe that this city has earned this rink, and we're taking in, you know, the past generations, the current, and the future generations to make a really state-of-the-art street hockey rink in Gloucester.
Where is it? Where's the plan?
So we're going to be putting the rink in where the basketball court is now. We got a CPA grant of about $100,000. That's given us a good start, but we got a long way to go. But it's going to go right. It's going to replace that basketball court, and it's actually going to be 160 feet by 80. And the reason why that size rink is because we want to be able to have sanctioned national level tournaments here in Gloucester. Wow. So
what a spot for it too.
And to pick up on that, we are partnering up with USA Ball Hockey, which is basically the governing body of street hockey in this country. And they will sanction an event that we could potentially have national teams come here and play and compete in the tournament. And you guys know this town, the city's awesome with the venues that it could offer, from food, you know, you're here in the summer going to whale watch, go to the beach in between games, or, you know, depending on how. Oh, so yeah. It's a perfect site. And we feel like, if this is my poor analogy, if you will, is that if street hockey was a party, Gloucester and Young Legends would be right at the doorstep, ready to get in. And the only thing that's holding us back is the rink, is the place to play, because we're looking to see street hockey be in the Olympics in the coming years. So it's this is a growing sport, and I think I can't say how excited we are because it's an awesome project.
So is there a fundraising effort right now?
Yeah, so we got a couple of things going on right now. Current year to date, we are at $118,000 that we've raised. Most for the CPA grant. Young Legends ourselves, we do little fundraising. We do bowling, jalapenos night, things like that. So we're able to put in some amount as well. It's up to about $10,000 now. And then the Gloucester Fishermen Athletic Association, they pledged $10,000. Where we are now, though, is we're trying to get in front of the banks like Institution for Savings and Bank Gloucester. And what we'll be doing is going to local businesses with a donor book to see if people want to get their businesses right on the boards. So we've got a lot of ideas coming up. I asked the board, they told me to keep it private. We have a big donor that we're meeting with coming up on January 31st. And it's going to be a great opportunity. We'll see what we get. But we're still trying to figure out more ideas. We do have...
What's your goal?
So
I'm hearing a lot of different numbers, but...
$1 billion. hold it. $1 billion.
Baby.
Thanks for the gumball, Mickey.
Billion would have a state-of-the-art rink. The numbers have changed a little bit because of our partnership with USA Ball Hockey. The original rink design was 140 feet. But when we talked to USA Ball Hockey, they said, if you guys really want a sanctioned national tournament there in Gloucester, we really need you to get to 160. So that was a really good conversation with Mike Hale at the DPW. He agreed with it, and he just said to me, it's always more money. So the way it's going to be broken down is in this stage. Is the first stage for us to get to the rink to actually be built will be boards excavating, and we're putting an asphalt bed with a concrete lining so the boards can actually mount into that, and tile. This tile is like a plastic. Really, the technology is incredible because it will expand in the summer but then contract in the winter.
So you'll use it in the winter too, or they be removable boards?
It will stay permanent.
Stay permanent.
Okay. Yeah, because there's been talk about people maybe trying to skate up there. Our conversations with Mike have been sort of, winter's not as cold anymore, and how long are we going to be able to use it for? But we're all for that too if people want to use it. But to answer your question, the price keeps climbing when you do that. So we need about $275,000 to get started. Yeah.
And I heard 118.
118, yeah. So okay. we got a ways to go.
Where's that bid guy? We need him
to go through. Yeah.
Wow, that's a good start. I mean, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
Is there any deadlines or anything you have?
We need to get the other part of this year is we're trying to get ready for our 2020 season. So trying to build the rink, and we're looking at a timeline of trying to start building in September. So we're not going to get in it for this season, unfortunately, but next year. But like I said, we have meetings coming up that we're excited about that could potentially get us to where a little bit closer to where we need to be.
Sure.
But that's the first stage. It will be fully loaded. It's going to have bleachers, a scoreboard, and a what am I forgetting? Benches. Sure. We want it to be a staple, and it will have lights. So we're looking at,
it'd be really cool.
Yeah, building it as time goes on. I don't have any pictures for you guys today, but I can.
No, I mean, that's what we're trying to do here. We're trying to set the picture up for people who are now thinking about this, and maybe they agree that, they can throw in something.
Yeah.
So is it a men and young adults?
Right now, Young Legends has always been for kids, to the 9 to 14-year-olds.
Okay.
But the rink will become our lifeline, which will allow us to expand our program offerings to high school level kids and adults. We actually run an adult tournament right now. This is year three of it. First year we had six teams, second year seven, at the O'Malley Rink. They open up and we play an Ironman tournament. So you play 12-minute games, you're dead by the end of the day. You can't even move the next day.
Yeah.
Our team still hasn't won it yet. We lost 2 years in a row in the championship game, but 12-minute games, double elimination, you play a round robin all in one day, and that's been a good fundraiser for us as well. This year, we're getting a sponsorship from Cliff Bar, and they're going to be giving us a bunch of stuff, and Mylick, who is
Didn't they invent the street hockey stick in the ball? I just watched a special on that. Yeah, there was the combination of his son's first name and last name is how they got the company name.
Yeah, whoa. So I don't know. Scotty.
That's why we have, yeah.
And they made the original street hockey pads. You don't want magazines on the shins taped up, Joe.
Right. The magazines.
So they're going to might put a vendor table up at our tournament this year. So we have actually a good partnership with them as well. So for the rink, we're going to become, like I said, we have a donor book that we're going to be handing out to local businesses because we want people to be a part of this, what we think is the best project in the world. But
of course. If you're passionate, That's it, you know? Make it happen.
Absolutely.
That's so awesome.
That's good stuff.
Absolutely.
So is there a place people can donate?
There was a GoFundMe page through Facebook, which is on our Facebook page, and that's where people, we've gotten some donations through that. If you want to, you know, throw in $20 or whatever, you know, that's where, so there's a GoFundMe.
Is that live right now still?
It is
live. So you should link to that in the show notes.
Okay, I can. I don't know, I'd have to send it to you. It's on Facebook right now. On
I can Young grab
Legends
it.
Page. Okay, yeah. It's on there. But our team is incredibly dedicated to making it that the city would be really proud of. And we're grateful to even have the opportunity to do this. This has been a long time in the making, so.
Once the rink is built, is it going to be similar to other ice rinks where you'll have court time instead of ice time where you can generate funds to keep the upkeep and stuff like that?
Yeah, that's a great question. Right now, our agreement with the DPW is not completely finalized, but it basically will be run kind of like the Gloucester Little League does with their fields. And what we'll do is basically work with the city to have definitely open rink time so that the goal is to have a bunch of kids just go up there and use it. I mean, that would be great. You know what I mean? But if there's an organized event, you do have to block off a certain time that we'll get for you.
Sure.
And there's a lot of people asking if they could do other things, like Sean Nolan had mentioned lacrosse practice and women's roller derby and
sign me up.
My daughter has played up at Danvers Indoor Sports.
Roller derby?
No. Indoor soccer.
Yeah, you could even play soccer.
And like with the boards. And, you know, there's never out of bounds.
And I've done indoor field hockey.
I was
a lot.
There's so much opportunity for something like this that you could do.
I was watching Shark Tank the other night, and there's this league that this guy's trying to create where you put yourself in the middle of this big plastic ball, and it's a playoff of soccer, and you basically chase a ball around, but you can hit other people. And oh my God, it looks so fun, and it looked difficult to get injured, but
bubble boy soccer.
It's basically bubble boy soccer. There was a name for it, but there are leagues.
Yeah.
Here in the United States.
I was wondering if figure skating is allowed.
There's no ice. It's a court. Okay. Yeah, it's concrete or.
But Connor, if you want to make a donation,
is it concrete or is it the kind of the thing that the track is made out of? It has a little sponginess.
Good question. It's actually a different material altogether. It's an actual type of plastic. If you guys are familiar with Leominster is actually the home of street hockey. It's where Lilac was created and all that jazz. They created a tile that has a little bit of it's a plastic. I should have brought it with me, but I didn't have it with me. It has some gripping to it. We're probably not going to go with grip because people have recommended rollerblading on it. So that's another thing, like you mentioned, we could open it up and have a public rollerblading hour if you wanted to.
Right.
But the idea is that the rink is completely open at all times, unless in a
warehouse. No, Milek developed that plastic floor too because they were originally a plastic company.
They did.
And that's how they came up with the hockey blade for street hockey and the balls.
And the pads, everything. That's what we still use in our league.
Accessories, helmets, everything.
So we're trying to get them to be, we work with them. I'm actually going for a visit there soon to visit the actual site and see how they do things. But,
Is Kim and Shasha.
Have you gone to like the Boston Bruins to see if
they are on our lineup. They are on the lineup because the Pittsburgh Penguins and the Capitals put in 6 rinks in their areas. Wow. So we're going to be
kind of. You know Barry Hanrahan?
I do not.
He's the general manager of the Flyers, and he's from Gloucester.
Really?
Yeah.
He's a flyer guy.
And he's a flyer. But he's also a big fan of Good Morning Gloucester. So you may listen to this and might be able to reach out to
Barry, him. If you're listening.
Awesome. What's your next big Barry. Fundraiser? I'm hearing the GoFundMe.
GoFundMe. The next big one is, we're still working out the details, is the Gloucester Police versus the Gloucester Fire street hockey game at the Gloucester High School. So Brian LaFada has been working with us on this, but the reason why it hasn't happened yet is because they don't want us to tear up their floor, which I respect. So, but I hear they're getting a new floor, which is why we may be able to get in
there. Get it just before they tear it all up.
Exactly. Yeah, get the game in there. So
we should cover the game, Joe.
That would be awesome.
And I could bring the PA for announcing the game.
Yes. Oh, what fun that would be. Yeah. Is there a date yet?
There isn't a date yet. We're still working with Brian. It's probably going to be the end of March, early April.
You get a date together, let us know, and I'll be more than happy to set up a PA and have some fun with that.
Well, it's perfect because we do know a PA. The way we're going to design it as, you know, it's going to be kind of fun where we introduce the players and they're the stars of the day, and then intermission we'll have like a fun shootout raffle thing and let the kids. But that's the game plan. We always, as an organization, always try to think big and try to separate ourselves from others because, as you guys know, competition just keeps getting. Kids can play baseball, they can play football, they can play flag football.
Oh, trust me.
I love golf too. So actually, in all fairness, if I probably gone to golf earlier, this may not have gone into hockey at all. So, so that's where
you go. Well, thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
We'll put links to the Facebook page and the GoFundMe in the show notes.
Awesome.
And,
there's a donor calling right now.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, you're welcome to stay if you want. If you have to be somewhere, you can take off.
Go to work. So,
right.
Thank you guys. Well,
thanks for coming in. Awesome. Carl Ellis.
Good luck.
Thank you. Appreciate
youth legend it. Street hockey. And look who we have here. Sha Sha.
This is Shyla.
You're welcome.
And Kim Smith.
And we brought some cookies that we made this morning.
Oh,
so get the cookies out.
Did she sign the waiver yet?
Yeah, we
here we go.
Now I can't swear.
We made the dough yesterday and the cookies this morning. Whoa. And that one's for you. Guess what that is? It goes like this.
It's a penis.
It's a little doggy.
Oh, I'm sorry. This is Charlotte. She
pooping.
Doesn't know what that means.
Can you put this on the chair?
Thank you, Charlotte.
Thank you, Charlotte.
There you go.
Did you help make those?
Yes, she did. Did you help me make the sugar
They
cookies?
Look like your dress. They look like the hearts on your dress.
Jimmy, you guys want a cookie?
Oh, I love
cookie.
That might have been a problem.
Thank you.
Those look like they're pretty good.
They're good. Mm. Chris is eating the little doggy cookie.
Oh, is that Bo?
Yeah, that, well, that was actually our dog,
I'm
Rosie.
Gonna
that
have a heart.
Rosie, there you go.
Do you want a cookie too? Yeah, okay.
All right, pass the Sha-Sha cookie.
Thank you.
There you go.
Mm.
Oh, you didn't get one? I didn't get one.
Silly me.
You can't take cookies away from a fat guy.
They're for your coffee.
So we're
not going to keep you guys. We just went to say.
Well, thanks for dropping off the cookies. Nice to see you.
Yeah, say bye.
Bye.
Bye, Sha Sha.
How old are you?
Two.
Wow. And you made these cookies?
Yeah.
Delicious.
Wow.
Delicious.
You did a good job.
Did you wash your hands before you made them?
Yeah.
That's a good girl. That's a good girl.
Look, they match her skirt.
Do you remember
the dress?
Do you remember that's Joey and Chris?
Hi.
There's Chris behind you. And this is Scotty.
I'm
remember
Scotty.
Scotty.
I'm gonna have two.
And there's Jimmy. And there's my friend Pat over there.
Good morning, Charlotte. I'm so glad to see you. I was hoping you were going to sit right here next to me.
Aww. Yeah, but I said you're just eating a cookie right now.
I am eating a cookie right now. It's so good. Thank you for sharing.
But I thought you just like turkeys.
She does like cookies.
Yes, I do.
But she said turkeys.
I did too. And she's right on
both
counts.
Right
we're going on our way to see some farm animals at Tendercrop Farm.
And your favorite farm animal is the llama.
Oh, your favorite
the llama.
Farm animal is the llama?
That's wonderful.
That is awesome.
Okay,
Joe is the sheep.
Bruce and Ringo.
Joe likes the sheep.
Right, this is dead radio time.
Oh, it's great. I'm sure everybody loves to see it.
Listen,
say goodbye now. Bye.
Say bye to everybody on TV.
Have fun at the farm.
Bye, Shasha. Thanks for bringing the cookies.
Okay, stay with us. She's leaving, but stay with us.
Bye.
There you go.
Wow. Joe, don't you like farm animals? The sheep? You go to the farm?
Goat herders?
Huh?
Goats.
No, sheep. I heard you like sheep.
I like sheep?
Yeah.
I don't know about
that. That's the rumor.
We went to Salem 2 days ago.
We did.
Yeah, I missed it.
We had a hell of a time.
It was great.
We went to, we went to two different breweries and then we went to the pizza place.
Yeah. We went to Far From the Tree.
Yep.
Cidery.
That was different. That was different.
Yeah. I love this cider.
I do too.
I did a flight because I never had cider. I didn't know. So they were all, I've been here, I've had this one. And I said, well, listen, you might as well get me a flight so I can try it in once. It was,
I like the Nova.
No, it was very good.
And they have that at the Beauport Hotel.
Mm-hmm. It does.
Ooh,
yeah.
Good call.
Yep, slightly hopped. Very good.
Minglewood carries their products too, Far From the Tree. As a matter of fact, the first time I had any Far From the Tree ciders was at Happy Belly, and I had the one with the jalapeno.
Oh yeah.
And the something else. It was great.
Ectoplasm. It was called Ectoplasm.
Was that one?
From Ghostbusters?
Maybe that's where they got it. It had jalapeno in it.
So we went from there. We went to the Salem
Beer Works,
which I feel like was way before any of the other they were way ahead of the brewery kind of craze.
Were they?
Yeah, they were probably, they'd probably been around for 15, 20 years. In the area. Probably like 20 years now. Because I was definitely, I think I was single when they opened that place.
I remember going to the one in Boston by Fenway first.
Yeah.
And I know that it was prior to 20 years ago because I worked at WBCN. And my first experience with fruit and beer was at Boston Beer Works.
Yeah.
I had the blueberry.
Right. Oh, yeah, that's what
and
we had.
Watermelon.
And the watermelon.
And I was introduced by WBCN's Krinsky, and I said, I'm not having any fruit in my beer.
Yeah.
And I tried it, and I was hooked, and it became a Red Sox game day tradition.
There you go. Yeah. There's that one. And then there was the one on Route 1. Was it Blue Moon? There was one on Route 1.
Oh.
There was a brewery on Route 1. Yeah. I think it was where Jimmy's, it is. I know it's where Jimmy's Steakhouse is now. There was a brewery before. Yeah. I'm surprised you don't remember that.
I don't remember that.
You always got stuck in the produce stand.
Yeah. I don't drink.
Yeah. So we went from there, and then we went to one of the great pizza places.
But then we took a big U-E right in the middle of the road so we can go two stores down.
We did?
Yeah, we did.
It's illegal.
And what was the name of the place?
Flatbreads.
Flatbread Pizza Company.
I thought it was the Coke Bear.
The Coke Bear.
The Coke Bear.
We took the big picture in front of the polar bear.
So we took the picture in front of the polar
bear. That's a great photo. I saw that.
But before we took the picture, Chris was... There was a family sitting behind us, back-to-back booths, and Chris just started ripping farts. He was mercilessly ripping farts, and...
I couldn't help it. I don't typically like doing that, but, I mean, the three of you were at my house the other night, and you were able to experience Joey's chili. Right, and how did that impact all of you? I mean, you don't have to get into any great detail, but it was uncontrollable, so I blame it on Joey. The chili was just too powerful. But
it was unbelievably hours after that. That's what we couldn't believe.
2 days.
Yes. And
a day.
But that's why we smelled him so much, because it had that much time ruminating in his ass.
Take it back.
Your son was so upset because some college girls came in and he was eyeing up.
I ruined it for him.
He was eyeing it up. He was.
I ruined
it. That was the first time I met your son, was at your house.
Connor?
Great kid.
Yeah, thank you. He's down in D.C. I think he's watching us now.
Yeah, he's on board, I believe.
We'll have to get him out again without farts.
No, he had a good time.
We had a great day.
Speaking of drinking, Joe, I got some good news and bad news.
Okay.
The number of binge drinkers has decreased. That's the good news.
Okay.
Definition of a binge drinker, because when I read this, I didn't realize what a binge drinker.
I want to see how this applies to binge watching Netflix or something.
It's a pattern of drinking that brings a person's blood alcohol concentration to 0.08 grams or above. And for men, that means 5 or more beers within a 2-hour period, and 4 or more beverages for a female. So the number of those individuals consuming 5 or more beverages in a 2-hour period, or 4 or more for females, has decreased. But the unfortunate thing is the number of drinks those binge drinkers are consuming has gone up significantly. It has gone up a 12% increase. It rose from 472 drinks to 529 drinks, a 12% increase.
I think
that's got to be a... Yes. Is that yearly?
That's impossible in 2 hours, Chris.
No. Believe me. I think it was yearly.
My guess is that's women drinking wine.
Maybe.
Well, I think it was both male and female.
But I think the women are skewing it. Because I think guys have always drank a lot, but I think the women know.
Well, it's not drinking a lot. It's the frequency. So the big question that I have for all of us is, would we put ourselves in that binge drinking category?
Only during NFL season.
I don't drink beer.
Well, no, it doesn't have to be beer. It's all alcoholic beverages.
Alcohol. I think more than 5 in 2 hours? No.
No?
No.
Coors Lights, I see that during NFL Sundays, yeah, if I'm not working. But Coors Lights are kind of like drinking water. What I drink, I don't drink like hardcore drinks.
I'd say beer is, it's easier to consume 5 beers in 2 hours than it is tequila and soda.
I beg to differ, it has been done. I'm not saying that it happens often.
You've seen it.
I've heard about it.
I want to hear my theory. My theory is that the reason the binge drinking has gone down is because so many young adults are doing the Juuls. No, they smoke a lot. Yeah. A lot more people are replacing alcohol with weed.
It was only a small decrease, 18.9 to 18%.
But I think that was my guess is that legalizing weed, they're going to something else.
Is this a national average or in New England? Because those numbers are way off in this. I'm not sure.
I think it's nationally. No, it's nationally.
You know, you got Boston and Gloucester, which is, well, Boston to Gloucester is probably one of the biggest drinking areas on the East Coast.
And we're proud of that.
it's a drinking town with a fishing problem.
Right.
Yes. Yeah, the Juul and the weed might also be the reason why the number of beverages has increased by 12%. Mm. Maybe people are doing both and saying, keep on drinking.
That's a good point. Pat saw something very, very, very interesting.
Yes, we were down at Lane's Cove the other day, Jim and I, and we happened to cross a couple of guys from the Mass Wildlife banding ducks and releasing them.
Really?
My inexperienced eye tells me that they were mallard ducks. I believe they were mallards. They had a couple of yellow cases in the back of their truck, and they were lifting the ducks out. The ducks were very calm. They were not at all agitated. Because
they shot them with ducks.
So where was this located?
Down at Lane's Cove.
Lane's Cove, they were banding ducks.
Yes.
With the little metal tags.
Yes, and I put
them. They crimped them on their ankles or whatever.
Yep. And some of the ducks that they picked up already had bands, so they were noting which band, you know, what band they had. And I don't think they put another band on them if they already had a band on them, right? Is that right?
I didn't think so. What they told me was they caught the ducks right there. He said, I'd ask them, how long were you out? I mean, it was a cold day. And they said it took about 40 minutes to catch them because all the ducks are like kind of huddled together because it's cold. And I guess when they say ducks on the pond, they weren't kidding. They said they can collect that many. And there was at least...
Yeah, the bands used to have
15 of
phone numbers on them so that if you find one, you would report it by phone. But now it's a website, and I put it on the... I did a blog post about it this morning with some pictures.
Yep.
And I put the website on the blog post, and it will be in the show notes as well.
www.reportband.gov.
Yep.
I think there was something else going on there because I follow most of the restaurants via Instagram, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of
a lot of duck specials. Well, one citizen
duck
came
wings
over.
At the boat board.
Duck wings at the boat.
One citizen came over while we were standing there, and he was a little concerned about a seagull with one leg that he had seen on the somewhere, and the Mass Wildlife guys were trying to reassure that the seagull was probably going to be okay, and the citizen was, nope, he's dead. He is dead. He's not going to live.
He
was pretty concerned about that poor duck or poor seagull. But yeah, and the guys were very patient with us. They, you know, just doing their job and
very nice.
Yeah, that's it was cool. Awesome.
It was mm-hmm. awesome to watch. It was very
Eric and H, were the guys that were working on doing the banding.
H like the letter. That's what he told us.
So we this Chris moved into his new place. Chris and Charlene and his family moved into his new place.
Congratulations!
He's in the Shire now. But the interesting thing, now we have proof, visual proof. He cut the cord.
Yeah.
He mounted.
I was wondering what the update on that was.
He mounted his television. We watched the AFC and NFC championship games at his house.
Wirelessly.
And the picture was outstanding.
Yeah, you would never know.
So I asked you to break down the costs, and did you do that?
Well, there's only two costs.
Do you have those numbers?
We watched the games on YouTube TV, so I subscribed to YouTube TV. As a matter of fact, it hasn't cost me a penny yet because YouTube TV is running a free trial until the end of the month.
Right.
Once the trial's over, YouTube TV is like $50 a month.
And so I've done a lot of research on this. I haven't taken the leap yet, but the reason a lot of people, if you watch a lot of local sports,
right.
YouTube TV seems to be the one to go, streaming service to go with, because they have the local sports channels, NESN and NBC Boston.
As I was doing my research, the biggest difference is, well, cost. They're all pretty comparable. Channel selection. And then the other thing that was attractive to, that attracted me to YouTube TV was the ability for my son Connor down in DC and my son Brendan to use my YouTube TV subscription.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So they can watch TV at their houses without needing to be connected to my Wi-Fi.
Network.
Because a lot of these services, you have to be on the same Wi-Fi in order to share it.
So if you have a $50 subscription and three family members are using it in different location, that comes out to $17.50 per unit.
That's one way to look.
So there's $17.50, and then your internet connection.
My internet connection.
And how much is your internet?
The internet connection was $59.99 through Comcast.
And did you get an upgraded one, or did you get their basic service?
It's the middle one. I think it's
200 megabytes, I think.
Megabytes.
Wow.
The other thing I did was I didn't go with the Xfinity router.
You bought one.
I bought my own, an Aris router that was $100.
So after I think they charge you $12 to rent their router for month. So after 8 months, you're
free and clear.
You're making money on that.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's kind of a no-brainer.
So $67 a month compared to what?
It's $60 plus $50, $110 a month compared to.
Wait. No,
because YouTube.
Yeah, but I'm breaking out that your two sons are using it.
Oh.
In different households.
Right.
But okay, say $110 though.
Yeah, $110 versus $230.
Versus $230.
Can they run simultaneously on the streaming? So if you're watching and then he wants to watch in DC, simultaneous, no interruption, no separate login, nothing.
Here's my guess. My guess is within two or three years, like they want people to know, they secretly want people to know that you can share passwords. Once they get you on, you're less likely to swap out of it.
They did that with Spotify, the music industry.
Yeah.
I could play a ceremony music on my iPad out on the front lawn for somebody that's getting married, and then inside I'd have it going too for music inside. But now they have it where you can't do that, it says you got to switch. You have to click
one or the other.
Yeah, one or the other. So that's what my question came up.
And the nice thing is, I don't know if I had this option when I was an Xfinity customer, but I have the YouTube TV app, so I can actually watch TV right now on my phone.
So you could watch local sports.
I could watch local
sports. And your iPad.
All the same channels that I get.
They must give you a certain number of devices that you can.
Yeah, there's five. It's up to five.
Five.
Yeah.
So the other two households count 1, 2. How about so now how many bedrooms can you use? Now if you
what one bedroom I'm using Apple TV. I'm not using YouTube.
So you're paying for Apple TV then?
No, Apple TV is free. Once you buy the device.
Yeah.
Oh no! So I'm using Apple TV to get to YouTube TV.
Okay.
So
is that not a cost though?
Apple TV is not.
Okay.
You just buy the device. There are obviously things you can buy once you're on Apple TV. There's subscription.
Kate just got a new phone and she got a new iPad and with a new iPad she says you get a free year of Apple TV. And I didn't really know what that meant.
Too. I don't know how to use it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm definitely not paying anything for Apple.
So that's awesome.
Yeah.
More to come. So more to come on that. The picture quality was fantastic.
Yeah.
There's you're not losing anything on picture.
No matter where, streaming. From the couch to your kitchen island there that we were all hanging out, checking the chili out or lean on it.
Yeah. Not once did the TV pause and have to buffer or anything like that.
No, it was very good.
You missed the big play.
I wanted to mention that. Pat has we're going to do a feature on Pat's crystal ball thing now.
Yeah, I brought crystal ball with me today. One of the reasons I brought it, which camera are we?
I'm going to move it right here for you. Hold on 1 second, Pat.
This is crystal ball. It is also called a photo lens or a photo ball. And every time I get it out to take pictures with it, people ask questions about it. So this is why I thought maybe our listeners interested. This one is clear. They come in colors. It is a photography accessory, really. I call her CB, and we take her out and about everywhere and take pictures with her.
CB is obviously Christie Brinkley.
One of my favorites.
You decide how you where
she photographs well.
Where you want to go with that? Yes, yes, indeed.
I'm gonna do a little slideshow now of some of the photos that Pat, so people can get an idea of.
Does Jim take her out to dinner?
The other day, the Elks
dropped her the first time, and she got her first nick.
And what's happening is she's telling me,
leave it to the man.
I was holding it because she kept saying, get closer, I want to go there. But the sun, it was going
through.
Yeah,
you have to really be...
And go right
and it was burning. And I was like...
Oh, they burn. This is one caution I definitely need to share, is that they put a warning in the box with this, but...
a magnifying glass.
It's so fast. I think it's the concentration of the glass.
Wow.
No time.
You can start fires with that.
I have started.
She has. We're over at.
She started. The Australian fires
for insurance purposes.
Koala bears. All the koala bears. It's Pat's fault. Fresh from the outback.
Those poor people, man.
We were at a local place.
And animals.
That she saw a great photo and she takes out CB and she sets it up. And I was just standing in the back watching. And meanwhile, she's getting her picture ready and focusing. And I'm watching some smoke come up here and stuff. And I'm
dry leaves,
And I'm going, honey, I think that's smoking. And she goes, I think it's going to be good. And she's
smoking.
And I said, no, honey, seriously. Then people had to walk up and say, that's on fire.
This one costs about $19. And it's available on Amazon. So when she does get banged up, and she will get banged up too much to really take pretty pictures anymore.
Because you dropped it too.
She can be easily replaced.
There's a little battle going on here.
Yeah.
Well, you're going to hang me. I'm
going down. But it's a fun little photo accessory that a lot of people ask questions about. So I thought I would bring
it's
her
a fun,
on.
It's definitely
She's
a fun.
She's a podcast virgin.
Yeah. Oh, no, we got another podcast. You speak about her in the you speak about her in the third person.
I do.
I will. So we put a show, link in the show notes.
Yeah, and I got a little. This is an added accessory. This little suction cup holder. It has a screw in it, so it can be put on a tripod, perhaps, or something like that. What I'm hoping is that we can suspend it. I want to find a way to suspend
Dangerous.
Her.
Dangerous.
Yeah, I know.
Is that the first set of balls that we've had on this podcast? I mean, clear ones. The ball.
Clear ones.
Clear ones.
Yeah.
Low-hanging fruit.
Low-hanging fruit. But that's CV, and I encourage you to, if you want to give your photography, your hobby photography, a little boost, it's a lot of fun.
And it's not a lot of money. It's under 20
it's
bucks.
It's not a lot of money.
Yeah.
Lincoln, speaking of balls... We need an update at some point. You may not have the update today on the great gift that my wife gave you for Christmas through Ballsy.
I haven't used it yet. Why don't you explain what Ballsy is?
I'm not going to. I want the viewers and listeners to hear from you when you're ready to share it.
All right. I'll try it out. For only this is for our viewers.
Yes.
Of course.
I will
always
try.
Always for a blog.
I will try this product.
Yes.
It's supposed to.
Because I have tried it.
So why don't you give us your observations?
I used it this morning.
Why don't you give us your observations?
My observations.
So why don't you explain what the product is?
It's a little gimmicky. So the product is cleansing, like soaps for the lower half, the men's lower half.
Your junk. Okay. Soaps for your junk.
Soaps for your junk. And it.
is that its official name?
No, it's called Ballsy.
Oh, it's so much better. Okay.
So they made one exclusively for the holidays, and it has coal in it. So literally, you put it in your hand, and it's black, and it has coal. So this morning, I used it, and, you know, it's supposed to, you know, help keep things fresh down there. And then when you get out of the shower, they have this cream that you use that has a slight fragrance to it, and it's supposed to... I mean, you know,
how
this whole
manscaping. How would you describe this fragrance?
Inviting.
Give it about an hour, Scotty. We're all going to describe it.
For the viewers.
Inviting. Inviting.
Oh, boy.
For the viewers.
Okay.
No, but with this whole manscaping trend, you know, it's...
I guess there's a market, right?
It's a market.
Now, you know when you go on to, like, Amazon and you make a purchase?
Yeah.
And it says... people who have bought this product also purchased.
Yeah.
They go on a Paltrow vagina candle.
Yeah, the vagina candle.
What is the vagina candle?
I've heard about this
vagina candle.
First you got Ballsy, now the vagina candle.
Tell me about the vagina candle.
I guess it's Gwyneth Paltrow, I believe.
It is Gwyneth Paltrow.
She has marketed and sold out of
yes,
like a Yankee candle, but it's a Gwyneth Paltrow brand of candle. Vagina scented candle.
Smells like her vagina?
I don't know this because I never, I'm just leaving that alone.
Yeah.
But
she sold out of it.
She sold out.
I mean, I imagine there's varying degrees of pleasantness of vaginas.
It's all the rage right now on all the talk shows, radio shows. And I figured since we are a multimedia or a podcast, it needed to be brought up.
Yeah.
Equal time.
Yes. Yeah.
If you're going to... Equal
yeah,
time to ball
talk
spray
about the
and
balls.
I made one comment about this because it was brought up in a social setting, and I said, "Well, they said, does it smell like vagina?" She says, "Well, it's a candle. It's got to be lit, and nobody likes a burning vagina."
No one likes a burning vagina. I mean,
you can go all day on the puns and jokes and stuff, but it's an actual candle.
Yeah.
That
we need to know what the fragrance is.
Yes. Well,
I think we need to. I'm gonna buy one. We'll bring
it's
it
sold
in,
out,
and we'll bring it around.
It.
Everybody yeah. smells it, and then.
No, I'm out.
What do you mean?
I'm out.
What do you mean you're out?
I'm out. Not coming that day.
Yeah, not coming that day. Pat, you're supposed to be part of the team.
I am part of the team.
It doesn't sound like you're part of the team.
We'll get you a Fabio.
No. This is the move. We get a sleeping mask, right? And everybody has a sleeping mask. And we'll do three candles.
Yeah,
and we'll see if someone can identify Gwyneth Paltrow's vagina candle. What do you think?
I'm dying to
She seems like,
face.
She might be a little earthy, crunchy. I would rather have... A different, maybe. Do you know who might have a better smelling vagina candle?
Who
is one of the less like the one, not the one, someone that might wear the patchouli oil, more like who do you think, like
Victoria
Kim Kardashian, maybe?
Kim Kardashian.
Who do you think has a? Who do you think would have a better smell? Who do you think would have the highest selling scented candle?
Sorry, ladies.
Jennifer Aniston.
This is a real candle. This is an Jennifer actual Aniston. Thing out for the public. Yeah.
Jennifer Aniston probably takes care of her and probably doesn't do the patchouli oil.
She uses eye drops.
Eye drops.
So, eye drops.
Yeah.
What does she use eye drops?
What does she
in
use
her eye dry eye.
Next thing, they're gonna have a Yoplait candle.
A what?
Yoplait, yogurt Yoplait. Candle.
Oh yeah. All right, we should move on. But we're going closer to
I'm just curious. Minute.
What's the next topic?
Who do you think will probably have?
I think we're at an hour and 10 minutes.
Oh, we had one more topic, and this is your topic, Portside Diner in Danvers.
Oh, Portside Diner. I don't know if any of you have been to the Portside Diner, but it's in Danvers. I forget what exit it is off of 128, but it's the downtown exit. But you take a left instead of heading to downtown Danvers. Portside Diner.
Is that near Sam's?
Oh, yeah.
Sam and Joe's?
Sam and Joe's.
Yeah, right. Just before it.
Right before
it's an actual real diner.
It's a real diner. Yeah. So what intrigued
at the
me...
Yeah, right at,
yeah,
the lights.
Right at the lights. Over by Pope's Landing. But what intrigued me is as I was waiting for our breakfast, because Shaw and I went there a couple days ago. We've been going there for years.
Yeah, because there's not many great breakfast places. No. Not like Gloucester has like 10 right. legit breakfast exactly. places.
Even
Danvers only has two or three. Well, there's Brothers.
There's Brothers, which is good.
And what else is there in Danvers?
For breakfast?
Dunkin' Donuts.
There's one on Route 1, but really in the downtown area, that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
We went to the one on Route 1.
Yeah, that was fantastic.
Now, can I say something? You brought up breakfast?
Yeah.
Big debate this morning between Dr. Oz and Mark Wahlberg about breakfast not being the most important meal of the day.
Oh, I've been reading about this.
There's an online feud between Dr. Oz and Mark Wahlberg, and this challenge is being thrown out with one-legged push-ups and then workouts in the gym, and they got it online with their Twitter or Instagrams.
Really?
And it's an actual feud. It was on the Today Show this morning.
I can't imagine if you're gonna be active and work out going without breakfast is gonna help you.
Yeah.
See, that's Wahlberg's argument is that breakfast is the
fuel.
Important meal of the day.
Yeah.
And Dr. S says, No. You skip breakfast and you do a bunch of little meals throughout the day to keep fit.
That's is like it now, related keto. That's to the fasting dieting?
Yeah, fasting.
Well, I think the problem with both arguments is that it's just too generalized. If you're doing an intense hour-long workout without any fuel, that's not good. You're gonna fade early. But if you're a regular person that has a desk job, I bet you the other way, Dr. Oz, a bunch of little meals to keep your metabolism fired is probably a better way to go. So I don't think that there's a right or wrong answer here. It's for the person.
My opinion, breakfast is the most important meal of the day. And Chris, anytime you have a breakfast recommendation like the Portside, I would like to check it out because I like to check out different breakfast places.
Yeah.
It's my favorite meal of the day, and I think it's the most important.
Well, it's a pretty unique place. It was the Worcester lunch car number 813. So it used to be
a real lunch car for
a train. And it first started operating, here it is, in Gloucester.
Oh, wow.
In Gloucester, which I was like blown away. It was originally known as the Cape Ann Grill back in 1948.
Location?
I don't know the location. But
do you know the Supremes? Do you know the Supremes? Where Supremes is now.
It used to be Chick's Roast Beef.
Used to be Chick's Roast Beef.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm.
And that was an actual diner car, too.
Mm-hmm. Right. So I bring it up not only because it's a great place to grab breakfast, really unique place. There aren't many of those train cars still around.
Agawam Diner.
Oh, Agawam Diner. Yeah. That's awesome.
The subway cars that they're auctioning off right now on the news, $500 for all the old transit
lines,
subway
the
cars.
Yeah. Subway cars.
$500 takes the whole lot with the current
Orange Line, Green Line, Red Line, all those old cars there.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
They took out, the way it's worded is, they took out the necessary equipment that may be needed in other places, so you're not like getting actual trains.
Salvaged
the bottom part. All the
scrap metal, maybe
the scrap metal part.
Probably the controls.
Oh, because they're made out of stainless steel, so they're like what are those air Airstream Mm-hmm. Like Airstream, right. Like people right. get those and they turn them into living spaces.
Yeah.
With all this off-grid, how I'm obsessed with tiny house living, I bet you people are grabbing these things.
Well, you're right. I saw that. They're doing bidding now.
Yeah.
So you can bid for yeah.
it. Oh, geez, I'd love to get the link. What was the name of it?
I think it was on WCBB or WHDH.
I saw
that.
What would I,
Channel 5 or Channel 7.
What the search term?
MBTA.
Subway car auction, subway maybe car Boston. Auction. Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. Type that in Google
right. All right, Pascal, I'm going to check Alexa, this out.
I know, I remember seeing
let's look at
Green Line, Green Line, Orange Line, train.
Yeah.
That's really
and
cool.
And I think it was from the 60s or 70s.
Well, yeah, judging, really maybe, yeah.
I think the year was around the 60s or 70s.
You have to really disinfect those if you're going to live in them. The bacteria climbing all over those things.
We could make a bar.
Certain lines were on the Upper East Side, the Lower West Side. I mean, you might.
Yeah, a different one. Well, there you go. That was an awesome podcast, guys. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
It is 10 o'clock right now, so that was an hour and 15 minutes on the on the nose. I'm going to...
Kim and Charlotte, thank you for the cookies.
Again. Yeah, thank you, guys.
Yes. Was
they're everybody, at the
Charlotte. Everybody wave goodbye right here.
They're at the farm.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for tuning in. Yeah.